Daniel 1, verses 1 to 8. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen, some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azara. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azara, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief officer for permission not to defile himself this way.
All right, so you are what you eat, part 2. Romans 12:2, which you spoke about a few weeks ago, says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And then our key verse in Daniel 1, which is verse 8, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief and official for permission not to defile himself in this way." So only a very quick review. Part 1 is on, will be up on the web this week. We're looking here at what does it look like not to conform, but to be transformed. And Daniel 1 is a tremendous example of what it means not to conform. It's probably one of the best examples that I know of, although I hadn't thought about it in that way before. Ultimately, what happened that Daniel's life was radically changed, along with his companions, when Nebuchadnezzar and his army, superpower of the day, came in and attacked Jerusalem and just wreaked havoc, taking stuff in the temple, just creating just horrendous war, and then bringing off people as captives. Daniel and his friends were among the captives. Daniel's life would never again be the same as a result of what happened to him and to his friends. And we meet him in Babylonian then, and there's a new plan for their lives. And because they're very sharp guys, they're taken in as possible candidates to serve the king in the royal court. But this requires a certain amount of certain natural abilities, and then 3 years of training, and then there is the that's the graduation after that, and then there is the actual selection by the king, and he'll obviously take the best of the best. You find no resistance whatsoever with Daniel being taken captive, or with the king's possible plan for Daniel and his friends' lives. There is no resistance. The only place you find Daniel objecting is in verse 8, when the king assigns this diet to Daniel and to all the would-be candidates to serve in the royal, obviously in the royal court long term, like senior civil servants. And we read again in verse 8, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. It's the only time you read of Daniel and not willing to conform. The only time he knew with the training that he would undergo with his colleagues that he would be transformed and there'd be very little left of his Jewish roots or background. The whole purpose of all this training was to make him fit and to re-educate and reprogram him, even indoctrinate him. He knew all of that. That he did not resist in any way. But he did resist the thing of the diet. So we move on. That's the review anyway. So Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And the obvious question to ask, of course, is why? Why of all the things that he could object to, was this the one that caused him seem to be the most hassle? And it seemed to be the biggest thing that he wanted to get resolved. So he asked the question, why Daniel? And we did some of that last week, if Daniel came to you, etc., what advice you'd give him. But he asked us, first of all, why would anyone want to choose broccoli and water over steak and wine is a good place to start. See, one of the perks of being a possible candidate to serve in the king's court and to be among the movers and shakers of that time, one of the perks was that, you know, you were eating the same food that the king was dining and all his senior advisors. But this is where Daniel wants to draw the line. So he's choosing possibly broccoli and water over steak and wine. That makes him stand out probably one among millions. Most people, not everyone, but most people would have gone for the steak and wine or whatever was the equivalent. I'm just trying to give a modern example. But this is where Daniel was willing to draw the line in the sand. Another question we ask him, what's the big deal in not wanting to eat the king's food? It's a good question to ask because of all the other things, as I said already, that he could object to, this seems to be a fairly minor and probably in some people's minds really quite a petty thing really. We'll come to that in a minute because he does explain that a bit. Now another question to ask is, why would Daniel, as a captive, as we know, he was taken when Nebuchadnezzar obviously declared war on Jerusalem. Why would he be willing as a captive to put so much at risk? What was broccoli and water or whatever, or carrots, whatever it was? And he was willing, he was really let it be known that this is not something he wanted to do. And it was putting at risk. I'm sure there was other people that were probably as capable as himself. But that's the truth. That's what he was willing to do for us. Another question to ask would be this. Is Daniel being a religious fanatic or simply being awkward? There are such things, as we know, in this world. People who are quite fanatical about stuff. And we also know, and we're aware of people, some people are just incredibly awkward, very difficult. So does Daniel fall into one of those categories? Is he a religious fanatic, or is he just simply an awkward individual? Obviously he's neither, but it's a good question to ask. Or the last one is, or is Daniel operating under a proper biblical principle? Because very clearly, he resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he was willing to stand his ground and come what may with it. It was his thing as do not conform to this world, but be transformed. And then this is what it seems to look like for him. And the only thing we're interested in trying to find out really is what drove this man. And he actually was quite a young man. He could have been 17, 18. To do this. So as I thought about it, and as I looked at the verse over and over, he obviously resolved not to defile himself with the royal food. He asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And asked the question, why? And could it be that Romans 12:1 is the answer? No, Romans 12:1 wasn't around when Daniel was doing this. But Romans 12:1 is a powerful illustration of what Daniel did before the Lord. And you're all scrambling out saying, what in heck is Romans 12:1? Well, it's just the verse before 12:2, but here it is. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God, or to worship him. The Amplified says it this way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. Could it be that in this area, Daniel was never willing to compromise or deviate from God's, this would be Old Testament law, obviously. And this is where he drew the line. That, to me, is the only logical explanation that I can get for it. Everything would change for Daniel, as we know, and everything had changed. But it was going to be very important to him that he kept right with God in his new surroundings. So this was a line in the sand that he was not willing to go any further with. So it was like as if he must have brought the whole of his being before God and said, Lord, if I eat this food, I'm not going to be right before you. And I believe this is going to do damage to our relationship, whatever language he possibly used. But this is part of what he did. He presented his entire self to God. And in some way, in eating the food, it would cause damage to that relationship. And that was what he was not willing to do. Romans 12:1, that's the verse that comes before, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But for that to work, it seems like it's nearly a Daniel thing, is you have to bring all of your being before the Lord, your entire person, and say, here I am in totality, God, to do with what you will. That seems to be what he had done in principle, and that's what he was willing to stand before God and see if God would do something for him. Daniel was not a religious fanatic, and he was not an awkward customer in any way. Indeed, when we move on, you find that when he presented this request before the official, you know, God caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. And yet the official had a hard time, because if this thing backfired, the official's head, literally his head, was on the block. But Daniel was a diplomat, even at such a young age. And verse 12 says, he says, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. That's where I got my broccoli and water from. Then compare our appearance with that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this test and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the outcome was in verse 16. So the guard took away the choice food and wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. It seems that in this situation, God honored Daniel's principle of Daniel putting God first. And when Daniel kind of made the decision to go with it, in verse 9, the Lord opened a certain amount of doors of favor. Now, it doesn't always go like that. And it didn't always go like that right for Daniel as time moved on. But in this time, it did. And the Lord opened the door of favor. And they came up, himself and the chief official, came up with a plan of how to devise this. The king couldn't have cared less. He wasn't interested. All he wanted to know really was, at the end result, you know, if things looked bad, obviously your man's head was on the block. But because it made no difference what they actually ate. Actually, they were better off eating just the vegetables and the water. So Daniel took a stand there. That's where he was not willing to con. That's where he would not conform to. Everything else he was willing to do, but not in this area. And because he took his stand there, in this case, God honored it. He honored it by showing him favor. In verse 9, he honored it in diplomacy. You see how tactful he was in verse 12. Please test your servants for 10 days. The official had a buy-in and a buy-out. And so there was flexibility within Daniel, and there was that level of diplomacy, which is so important in life. And he had that. And the guy could see for himself when it was all over that, for reasons he couldn't explain probably, that Daniel and the crew looked healthier. So they stuck with that then instead. Probably the king was no wiser. He didn't need to know. Now you're asking is, well, if the Lord is talking it's about do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Part of that must be that we offer ourselves in totality to the Lord, first of all. And then we allow ourselves to be transformed. Often what happens is the other way around. We want to be transformed first and then see and what the Lord has on offer for us, and we'll decide then whether we want to go with it or not. But that's not the way he did it with Daniel. So that's one example of what it means not to conform. But you might ask a question then, but that's an awful long time ago, and we're not living in the palace, obviously. And we're never going to be in the royal court. And so how does that apply to us in 2020? Well, July 2020. And I came up with a few things at least. Maybe this is a help. These are life lessons identifying with Daniel. And there's a few ways actually of where we can identify with him even this day. Number one is this. Daniel had to face a new normal. And so do we. The day Nebuchadnezzar came in and brought Daniel to Babylon, Daniel had a new normal to face. We too, in where we're at, and even secular authorities are saying to us, lads, we have a new normal. Daniel had to face it, and so do we. And that's one of the areas of where we can identify with him. Second area is this. Daniel had little or no control over his circumstances or future. Neither do we. Daniel's future really lay within the control of them, Nebuchadnezzar and his advisors. This virus has brought a new normal to us. And even though people are cramming to get back to normality and to gain control, if we're learning anything, we will not be able to control our future and our circumstances like we were able to do. But that's the way Daniel had to live. No control over his circumstances or his future. Neither do we, if we really think about it. Another area, Daniel had to learn to live with uncertainty. He didn't know what tomorrow would bring. And we have to do likewise. If this virus is teaching anything, it's teaching us, surely, we're not in control. Daniel had to live that way. Another area, possibly, that we are like Daniel is probably this. Well, maybe we're not. Daniel was unwilling to compromise or deviate from what would cause him hassle with God. Are we? No, I do not say that tomorrow lies up a pressure on anyone. But it's a very fair question to ask. But if there's any lesson that I learned from Daniel, surely it is this one. Daniel was maintaining his relationship with God meant everything to Daniel. What does it mean to me? Yes, he had a new normal. He couldn't do anything about it. He had circumstances he could not control. He was not in charge of his future. He had to live with uncertainty. But maintaining his relationship with God meant everything to Daniel. In his new reality, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? If I were to sum that up, I think what Daniel would be saying to us is, no matter what the future looks like, no matter how uncertain, or no matter how the new normal looks like, if you can maintain that relationship with God, and that means a lot to you, and you can bring God into that situation, then you will more than survive. Daniel actually thrived in it. But how he started was how the man ended. When it came to God, he was never willing to compromise. And he was never willing to deviate. And he got into trouble as the years went by, as so did his friends. But that's what made him stand out. They were unwilling to conform in certain areas, but they were most willing to be transformed in all other areas. Once it didn't cost them their relationship with God, they were pretty much willing to do anything within reason. So as you and I move forward, the question that I have to ask for myself is, how much does it mean to me that I'm able to maintain this relationship with God, that He's with me in it, and whatever this new normal is, whatever the future brings for me, whatever uncertainty looks like? What's my line in the sand of where I'm not just being awkward, or I'm not being fanatical, but I'm not willing to cross over there because it will do serious damage to my relationship? I think the key to Daniel's success, and this is my last point, was his willingness to submit himself in totality to God. And whatever that looked like, he was willing to go with it once he was right with God. I think that's how he survived. I believe that's how he thrived. You and I have to figure out what it means in our situation not to conform, but to be transformed. And I've spoken about that before. There's ways of doing it. In your spirit, if you feel something, you're watching something, reading something, the Lord says, turn it off, turn it off. If there's things that is draining your spirit, you got to watch those things, etc., etc. Look, I'm not here to preach in those things. Some of that you can figure out yourself. Or if you need my help, I'm happy to give it. But Daniel also teaches us what it's like to live in a secular pagan society and still maintain a relationship with God in very high political circles. He did it because he knew what to say yes to, and he had the wisdom to know what to say no to. And if there's anything we need to ask the Lord, that we have the wisdom to know when to say yes to things, but also the willingness and to know when to say no and to stick to our guns, because the cost of the relationship with God would be too much for us. That is what the Lord has given me to give to you and to give to me. A word of prayer. We'll have our closing song. Lord, it is easy to think, Lord, that it's all in the mind. Lord, it's in the mind, but it's also in the will. It's in our willingness, Lord, to give you our total trust and, Lord, the sum total of who we are. Lord, it's almost impossible to live the Christian life and flourish, Lord, unless we let go of control. Lord, we cannot be in control and grow at the same time. Lord, it will stump our growth. But Lord, it is possible even in difficult situations to grow and to thrive and maintain in that relationship with you when we surrender in totality. Our will, our mind, our body, our movements, our future, our uncertainties, all of that, and press on with you. Lord, I do not know what all this will look like for each person listening to me this day or the new life or on the web, but I do pray that you grant a wisdom, Lord, to know what this looks like in their life. Grant me wisdom to know what this looks like for me, Lord, as we move into, Lord, the second half of 2020. Facing a new normal for all of us. Grant us wisdom not to conform. But Lord, let us not be awkward, let us not be fanatical, but let us be wise in order to maintain the relationship that we have with Jesus. And say, at all costs, I cannot afford to lose this. And all of God's people said, Amen. You are what you eat, true or false. In Daniel's case, it was true. That's where the battle line was drawn for him. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ.